It's time for Ask Dale Anything, the show that answers your most perplexing questions with profound answers from one of the top transformational teachers and leaders on the planet, Dale Holloway. I'm your host, Mickey Manning, Dale's left-hand person, as I like to call it, and I've never heard a question that he can't answer. He's been doing this for over 40 years now, and he truly has an answer that's profound and helpful on any topic. So with that, let's get into today's question.
So we do have a crisis question here, which always moves to the top of the list. And this crisis question comes from Misty. Misty says, I'm writing in concern of my father, who is suffering from stage 4 prostate cancer that has now metastasized into bone cancer all throughout his body. I've had the beautiful opportunity to be with him these past 2 years as I've helped my mom care for him during this difficult time. As the time is drawing closer for him to leave this earthly existence, I'm writing to ask you for any help or advice for me to be able to help him make this a smoother transition. Today, he was full of anxiousness about dying and not knowing what's next for him. How can I best support him in processing these fears and helping him to feel peace about his soul's next journey?
Well, first of all, Misty, I'm sorry to hear this. I know it's always tough to have a parent in a place like your father is right now. And not only can it be scary for him as he's getting ready to make his transition, but it can be equally scary for at least most of the family members around him, and especially if we don't really understand what's going on. So, you know, death is the opposite side of the exact same coin of life. In fact, we could not have life if we didn't have death. We could not have death if we didn't have life. I don't want to get too deep into a dissertation on death and what death is. I want to respond more directly to your question, though, with regard to what can you do. So there's a couple of things here. And these couple of things have to do not so much with him, more to do with you. So from his perspective, he's a little anxious, and which is very common, by the way. People that are coming towards their death, and they know they're coming towards their death, depending on how they've lived their life, will determine what happens when this particular period of time comes. He, as a soul, does not die. He, as a soul, lives on. It's eternal. And now what appear to be die off will be his ego, his personality, of course, his body, his physical body. But his energy body does not die. There's so much to know about what actually, again, happens here. And so from his perspective, he's obviously very much hooked into his ego or his personality. In other words, he's probably forgot that he even has a soul or is a soul. So that might be a starting place, is to come up with something that helps him to recognize that this is a part of life, dying that is, and not only is it a part of life, but in terms of where do we go, there's always another place to go. This is a journey. This is a journey that the soul is on, as in his soul. And so once this time happens and he actually drops his physical body, that's when that transitional phase, if you will, begins to wherever it is that he's going next. Now, most common where he's going to a place that's very much like this place. Only that place is a little softer. It's a little smoother. So some might even refer to it as heaven, meaning it's just more heavenly. But where he's going will be to, you know, meet up with at least a couple of his old friends or a couple of old family members. In other words, there'll be somebody there when this time comes on that side of the curtain, and we'll know exactly when that time is. This is, again, it's all planned so uniquely and so precisely that when that time comes and he begins to transition out of his physical form, when that happens, that's where, you know, somewhere in that process, he will have an awareness around someone, unless he's completely drugged up. If he's completely drugged up, his soul will still have the awareness. He just won't have the awareness because he's drugged up. And if you're drugged up, then you're numbed down. You're not going to be able to, you're not going to be sensitized to the point of where you're going to be able to pick up the subtle signs or like the subtle images of, say, a loved one from the other side that's been assigned to come to greet you, to escort you over to the other side. So you can have this type of a conversation with him. You can have, ask him if there was a question that he really wanted to ask about death, what might that question be? And then let him present the question. And as he presents the question, you know, you're pretty intuitive. Maybe this is an exercise for you to trust, for you. If in fact, this is one of your lessons to learn how to trust, that this is maybe where now you trust in your own intuition. So as he presents the question, whatever the question is, more than likely, much of that question is going to come from this fearful place, this anxiety-driven place, which is all rooted in fear. And it's the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of the unknown, like, you know, what happens in those last days? It's the fear of the unknown, where am I going to go? What's going to happen when I go there? It's this element of the unknown. And which is very common. Most people experience this if they're having a more transitional death like he is. In other words, he contracts something, it doesn't take him out right away, like say a massive heart attack. Massive heart attack, the person lays down, has a massive heart attack, and 2 minutes later they're gone, right? This type of a death, it's dragged out longer. And it's dragged out longer on purpose. In other words, the soul, as in his soul, is going to get some value out of this, whatever that is. But in this, it definitely will activate that fear, which then produces that anxiety around, you know, I can't control this. And the truth is, you can't really control your own death. Death is something you get to surrender to, ultimately. And when you surrender, what that really means is that's where your soul takes over. And that's how most people live their life. They don't live their life in a way where they connect with their soul while they're living and then surrender to their soul while they're living. Most people go through their life disconnected from their soul, so to speak. And then when they come to that point of death, the opposite side of that same coin of life, so to speak, when that happens, then at that juncture, they just simply freak out because they don't know how to surrender. It doesn't even dawn on them that this death is about a surrender. It's about surrendering to something that's gone. It's about surrendering to something that's over. It's about surrendering to something that is to now be let go of. In this case, it's letting go of his life. It's letting go of his physical form. So have a little bit of a conversation with him. Choose to take this on, possibly as a lesson for you in learning how to trust, in this case, yourself, your own intuition, your own higher self. Because remember, your higher self is connected to his higher self. And so if there's something specifically that his higher self wants to get through to him that has not been able to do so, then the higher self, as in his higher self, can work directly through your higher self. And that's where you trust your own intuition. And all of a sudden you just start speaking. All of a sudden, you know, you begin to respond to whatever that question is. And then out of that, it potentially creates some kind of a conversation between you and him that becomes possibly helpful for him. Or at the very least, it helps calm him down a tad, helps calm down that anxiety, which is really fear of this unknown element. So there's that. Then we got to also look at you, right? And so we got to look at you around you being willing and ready to let go of him. And so that can bring up some stuff for you. It normally does for family members, right? And so as that comes up, then you're slowly but surely making peace with whatever that is. But now's the time to be doing some of that, so that when you go in and have this type of conversation with him, you can really have a real or deeper conversation. Another thing you can do when you're having this conversation is to ask him questions about his past. Have him, if he's willing to, and there's a chance he will be, but have him open up a little bit about things that happened. So from your perspective, what I suggest you do is before you go and have your first meeting or your first conversation, in other words, I'm implying that there could be two or three conversations that await you here between now and the time that he actually takes his last breath. But as you're getting ready to come into that first conversation, for you to take some time and answer this question: if there was something that I really wanted to know about my dad, about the history of my dad, about my dad's past, as a way to help me better understand me, what would that question be? Or what would those questions be? This can be incredibly beneficial for both of you. One is he gets to talk about his past, assuming he's willing and ready to do that. And in that, it starts to move some energy for him that's possibly stuck or snafu'd somewhere in his cellular structure. In other words, you provide the way, which is to have the question, present the question, and then let him respond to that question. Then maybe you have a follow-up question. You go a little deeper into that part of his life, with the focus being on him. But the intention being not just to have him open up and possibly move some energy just in his own unique way, but for you to learn something about yourself through the history of your dad. Because more than likely, your dad has a couple of gold nuggets for you. And if you were just to give him that space in this way with the right kind of questioning, and take your time in asking those questions, make it conversational, but get him to open up a tad. And as he does, obviously, you can be very interested and really fascinated with what he's saying, so much so that then you have a follow-up question, maybe you have another follow-up question. This is your opportunity to learn something about you through the eyes of your father. And by doing this, somehow, some way, the odds are that ends up helping him too, because somebody is now showing a genuine interest to learn about parts of his past. Now, he's not probably a transformational person like you are, but he doesn't have to be in this regard. The fact that you got him opening up, and especially if he does get a little more into it and you're able to ask a follow-up question or two, that in itself, whether he's aware of it or not, will help him to move some energy here. And that'll be a good thing. That'll be a good thing for him just as a person. It'll be a good thing for him as he comes closer into this last part of this transition from this world to the next. And then this also gives you an opportunity to say or share whatever you want to share with him, and do take advantage of that. You know, you might say at some point in these types of conversations, you might say, "Dad, you know, I don't know if I've ever said it enough, but I just want you to know I love you, or I appreciate you." And if you can be very specific, "I really appreciate this," whatever this is, from maybe something happened with the two of you 8 years ago, and it was something that was significant for you. "And I really appreciate this about you, Dad," you know, to also include that in these conversations as well. So And then, and if you do have a follow-up question here for me, which I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask if you like, but that is this. You can talk to him. Never be afraid of when somebody is getting close to their own death, of talking to them about angels or guardian angels or guides. Because you of all people, Misty, you know they exist. And so now you don't want to force this upon anybody. But do not be ashamed or scared of bringing that into conversation as well. As in, like I said, when, you know, I've helped a lot of people cross over. And in every single case, there's always been at least one person, a loved one from their life, that literally showed up maybe within a 24-hour period of them taking their last breath. Every single time. Every single time. Now, I'm very aware of this. So that's part of what helps that along the way, because I'm so aware. And you could say I'm kind of inviting that in as well. But the reality is they're ready to come because they are commissioned to come, divinely speaking. They are commissioned to show up at this event, because from the side of death, this is equally significant to when it's time to be born again, born into another life. And we're on the other side and say we're the parents and we're giving birth to our child. That too is very significant when you're coming into life. Well, it's equally significant when you die because of what you transition into, including at least some of those, as in some of those loved ones that departed before you did, that come to meet you. And many cases are actually commissioned, as I said, to escort you, to help you in this journey of crossing over. And then, of course, once you cross over, then if there's other family members that were not there at that initial crossing, then that's where they show up little by little, slowly but surely as well. And then somewhere in there, you realize this is not a bad deal at all. This is all part of the circle of life. So, Mickey, is there a follow-up question to Misty, or does Misty have a comment on what I just shared?
Yeah, Misty, please either type it in or let me know if you want to come on and talk with Dale for a moment. Michelle is actually sharing that she, you know, is here for you too, and that she's happy to talk about a similar, what she went through with her father. So got some love coming from her. So very nice. Misty, yeah, that was really sweet. I know Misty is on here with us. She says, Dale, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It helps so much, as this has been extremely difficult to stay strong for both of my parents, holding the space for what both of them are going through.
Yeah, and it is. And you're going to do just fine. You really are. But it is. It is a challenge, because it's not just your father, as you said, it's also your mother. She's still here. And so it's obviously something like this of this magnitude is going to bring up all kinds of things for her. But you can also, on the sidelines, encourage her in a way like I just did with you, by, you know, giving her a little bit of guidance or a little bit of direction on maybe what she could do. You know, when the person is still here versus like when they have a massive heart attack and die in the middle of the night, let's say. At least on a physical level, you don't get a chance to ask any more questions. You don't get a chance to share what you really want to share from your heart to theirs. Versus when somebody knows that their death is coming and the family knows their death is coming. I mean, one of the reasons why everybody knows is because there's an opportunity there to say what needs to be said, ask what needs to be asked, shared what needs to be shared, heard what needs to be heard, or hear what needs to be heard, all these types of things. And so But what often happens is most people are terrified of this thing. They're just terrified of it. And it's because they don't understand it. And, or they've just got a lot of their own fear inside that just takes center stage, and they're still worshiping their own fear, and they let their own fear influence their choices and so on and so forth. It could be that as well. But the truth is, it doesn't have to be any of that. This whole thing can actually be a beautiful thing. It can be a beautiful thing for your father. It can be a beautiful thing for your mother. It can be a beautiful thing for you. It can be a beautiful thing for all other family members, including, you know, your moments of where you're going to feel sad, because this is going to be a significant loss here in the physical, not in the world of the divine, but here in the physical, this is going to be a significant loss. So yes, there's going to be sadness, and yes, there's going to be grieving as that time comes. That's all perfectly natural. That's all part of this process that's at play here. And there's going to be fear. And again, especially when somebody doesn't understand it. And the fear could be coming from all directions, as I shared. So know that, yes, you are the one that's assisting both of them, including assisting yourself as you go through this process together. But as you said, you're the one that's being strong, and you're being strong because you are strong. It's because you have an inner strength. You are the one to support both your father and your mother through this transition. You are the one. And on the other side of all this, and the other side is not just after your father takes his last breath, but on the other side of it, as you get through your own grieving, because there's going to be grieving there, and whatever else that's going to come up for you over a period of time. But on the other side of this, you'll actually become better, stronger because of this. And your father, from ultimately where he will land as a soul, will be incredibly proud of you, because that will all be remembered in terms of how it was you who showed up in a way that helped him to get through what he needed to get through, and it helped his wife, your mother, get through what she needed to get through as well. And not that you're responsible for all their choices, because you're not, but there are little things along the way, like we just talked about here today, that you can be doing as a way to assist them in their journey. And then somehow, some way that helps you as you're going through what ultimately is going to be your own process here as well. And not just the days to come, but the weeks and months to come. Thank you for your question.
Thank you, Dale. We've got, Michelle said, I wish I had this divine guidance from you decades ago, Dale. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And thank you, Heidi, for sending the love to Misty. Misty says, thank you. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart.
You're so welcome. My pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you. I know I was taking notes. Yeah. I'm going to go see my mom soon. I was thinking, I think I'm going to take a tape recorder and ask her some questions about, her life. And, maybe you gave me some inspiration there.
Well, you prepare the questions prior to going. Okay. This is, this would be like prayer in action. Mm. What religious people do, for the most part, they just pray. But when it's all said and done, they're in tremendous pain. Then they suppress their pain through that of their own religion. So, and that does not help their loved one that is attempting to cross over. That kind of stuff doesn't help at all. And so, but whereas things like this can really help. But when it comes to those questions, give it some time before you go to think of a handful of questions. You don't want to walk in with 25 questions on your first visit, right? And pretend like you're the investigative journalist.
Right.
And, because remember, one of the key words I said in my response to Misty, keep it conversational.
Yeah.
Keep it friendly and conversational and easy and smooth and, my father, you know, when he had all kinds of opportunity to speak with me about death, he just would always poo-poo the idea. And it's because he was so terrified of it. He just wouldn't tell anybody, including himself, how terrified he really was.
Yeah.
And yet, as he approached that day or that time, and he was maybe a couple months away from it at that point in time, just out of the blue, he reached out to me and asked me if I would take the time to talk to him about death, and more specifically, his death. Now, all the years prior to that, anytime I attempted to, because I knew he would have a painful death, and he did have a very painful death. I knew that in advance. And I wanted to do things as a way to help him, to kind of prep him a little bit so it wouldn't have to be as painful. But there was no entry. There was no entry until literally maybe 2 months prior to his last breath. And when he asked me, it was 100% genuine. My mother was in the room next to us when we had our very first conversation. I mean, she was just in tears, just flooding with tears. She could not hold him back. She was so moved and so touched by this conversation that he allowed me to come into his heart and have with him. And then on the heels of that, we ended up having another conversation. And, you know, so all of this can be handled. It all can be handled. But we handle it in a way that's sensitive, in a way that's respectful, in a way that's honoring. We don't want to put too much on that person that's really scared, but we want to do something that just helps to calm them down.
Yeah.
And then maybe they do get a little better understanding as a result of that conversation. But then in that conversation, you end up learning something about your mother. You end up learning something about your father, which is a part of your history. You want to take the time to learn about this. And then somewhere in there, because now your hearts are opening and you're having these deeper, more meaningful conversations, all of a sudden something so sweet and so precious and so what will turn out to be so memorable gets shared. As in, you share something you've maybe always wanted to share with your parent that you lost awareness around. But you were real in that moment. You were so real and you shared it. And it did something for them at soul level, but it also did something for you at soul level. Or then maybe on the heels of that, they end up sharing something that you don't even see coming, that touches you in a way that you haven't been touched that way for maybe your entire life thus far. In other words, it becomes profoundly meaningful for you. These are all important things to do, because at some point that time's going to come. And one of the reasons why people sometimes get caught up in a lot of guilt after they lose a loved one, because they didn't do this. They bypassed all this for whatever their reason. But as always, you know, we say death is so-called final, right? Final in the context, you can't pick up the telephone and, you know, call your dad again. Now, you can speak to him. That's another conversation for another time. You can speak to your mother. That's another conversation for another time. You can fully connect with them. You can call. There's all kinds of things you can do when that time comes. But even with all that, it's still not the same as that physical touch.
Yeah.
It's not the same as hearing their physical voice. That's why some people, before their loved one, especially when they know their loved one's going to pass, they will keep the last voicemail. They'll record that voicemail that's been recorded, and they'll keep it for who knows how long. And they get a good recording of that loved one that they've now lost to the other side. They get a good recording of their voice, and it becomes just meaningful to them in the greatest of ways. You know, but that's when you are accepting what's going on. When you're really accepting the reality of what's happening, your loved one is about to go. And when you're in that place of acceptance, now you can really work with it. You can do these things that we just got finished talking about. And on the other side of this, you'll become better because of it. You'll feel better about yourself. You'll feel better about your relationship with this loved one on the other side of it, versus if you, for whatever reason, aren't able to accept this, while they're still here. And there's that period of time from the time they get diagnosed to the time they take their last breath. There's that window of time when you can really have these kinds of conversations and these kinds of sharings. If you were not to do this, then on the other side of that, taking the last breath, that's where, if you've got guilt inside of you, that's where the guilt can really take over and play havoc with you for who knows how long after your loved one has passed. And so that's why these types of things are so important for all parties to be engaged in and really genuinely embrace.
Wow. Well, thank you, Dale, for all of that and for sharing about your dad. And thank you, Misty. I think this helped us all. So,
yeah,
we're sending you love and to your family. Just love and support, Misty.
Absolutely. And also, Misty, at any point on any Elevate call, just please feel free, whenever you have perhaps another question regarding this, wherever you're at in the journey of this unfolding with you and your parents, your folks, please know that you can come forth with your question. And I would be honored to be here for you in this way and respond by giving you whatever the answer is to that particular question that you have for me at that point in time. So know that this will remain available for you as well as you're moving through this experience that you're currently in. With both yourself as well as your wonderful parents.
Oh, thank you, Dale. I know that means a lot to her, I'm sure. And Misty, you can also email that question in like you did this last one. So just send it to me and we will make sure Dale sees it and he can respond. So
absolutely.
Misty says, thank you, Dale.
Again, you're welcome.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. And if you found Dale's teachings helpful and you want to get more of them, then you might really like his free ebook that we have for you, 12 Simple Ways to Change Your Life in 30 Days. You can download it for free at dalehalloway.com/practices. That's dalehalloway.com/practices. In it, you'll find 12 simple ways explained to you in exact step-by-step fashion that will cause your life to move forward in the next month. Simply choose one of the practices, any one of them, do it for 30 days straight, and you'll see a new you begin to manifest. I am not kidding. Download your free copy today at dalehalloway.com/practices. Oh, and by the way, if you know anybody who might find this content helpful, please share it with them. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you next time.